The Saga of the European Game. Chapter 2. The Council of Fairy War.
The king screamed his proposal to those assembled in the grand hall all through the night and well into the new day. The crowd was transfixed by his voice and by his six-hour PowerPoint presentation that added visual flair to his plans. When it came to a vote for all of the king's guys and governors and dukes and barons and ladies and adventure teams to decide on whether a war on Winter itself was a good idea or not, everyone, with one exception, voted yes. They always voted yes to whatever it was the king said because they loved him so much. And it wasn't just those lucky enough to hang out with him, but everyone in the Kingdom of Europe agreed that the king was right about everything. With one exception. They loved him because he was the head of their community and never let them down. Whenever something or someone threatened to mess everything up for Europe, the king would get up and do something right away, and it always turned out cool. The kings of Europe had been doing this for generations, and everyone agreed it was the best possible system of governance. As soon as the votes had been counted, the king ran around the grand hall, shooed off the embracing slaves, and gave a big personal hug of his own to every one of the dukes and barons and ladies and what have you, because he was so grateful that he could go out and put a stop to winter and save one half of everybody's life from being cold and miserable and dark and bullcrap with the approval of Europe's coolest people. With one exception. The king walked slowly towards that one exception to the otherwise unanimous vote. He did not hug the man who had dissented, but instead he drew up close to him, folded his arms, and asked, in a hurt voice,
"Who are you, good citizen of Europe? Who would rather be with winter every year than rid of it once and for all?"
The man responded by pulling back his dark hood, revealing his horrible skeletal cybernetic face, and looking directly into the king's eyes, which was a rude thing to do, and then pulling out an Uzi from under the table and firing it into the king's chest, which was worse than a rude thing to do. It was illegal.
"I'd rather you died, king of fools,"
the dissenter opined as the magazine emptied. The horrible man was Terathor, the king's nemesis. They had been friends once, but had become bitter enemies, which is always sad. Terathor was behind most of the bad things that happened in Europe. Even if at first it didn't look like Terathor was involved, it would usually turn out that he was masterminding everything. The king drew his mighty sword, Cutty, and deflected the spray of Uzi bullets faster than a cat could have done in a similar situation. And then the king lunged at the man who was, if you thought about it, just the other side of the coin to him, which is a metaphor. But Terathor had already pulled a man-sized metal disc out from under his seat that had lifted him up into the air with a stock techie whoopee sound effect. Terathor surfed the disc out through the window and escaped into the night sky, shrieking with laughter, even though this was a serious situation and not to be laughed at.
"I'll get you, Terathor!"
screamed the king while shaking his wooden fist at the breezy hole in the window. Terathor was always getting into these meetings and voting no to anything the king had to say. It was so annoying. It was making it impossible to get a perfect feedback rating. After that exciting interlude, the king got his closest, most trusted friends and advisers into a secret war council in his rad bedroom. He had been to war with most of them and on little mini-sagas and adventures with the others. All of them had found treasure and artifacts with the king, had gone to strange foreign lands and crazy hell mansions, had fought monsters and assholes by his side, and he trusted them. They were like a little community inside the bigger community that was the Kingdom of Europe. They were his friends on any adventure, big or mega big. They were his adventure friends. The king showed them his secret plans. He had made them by cutting up the pictures from a lot of old magazines and sticking the pictures up onto a big piece of coloured card. The coloured card showed them all that they would be doing.
We need one half of the European army to travel up to the Chillonous Plains in the outpost of Nord,
he said to General Majesty, who was the guy who had trained the king in soldiering and was a close childhood friend. General Majesty nodded, stood up, and addressed the other adventure friends in the room.
Yes, I don't think I'm overstating things at all when I say the Chillonous Plains are the scariest plains in Europe. Well, surveys say that there's nothing there at all. Nothing but the ice. Nothing but the howl of the cutting winds. Nothing but the vision of your own grinning death's head staring out at you from the blank abyss. Doesn't bother me one whit. I'll stir the men from their beds and ride to Nord right away, because I love the king. We all love the king.
General Majesty and the king hugged. The other adventure friends clapped politely. The king turned back to the coloured card. He pointed at an important part of it and said,
And you'll need to build a totally awesome castle when you get there. It will have an indoor swimming pool and portraits with moving eyes on every wall. Mechanicus, you are equal to this task. You'll have to clear-cut the forest of dark ice for the materials. I will give you a company of the finest engineers and foresters in Europe. Oh, be careful of the wild gods that our sages say live there, but I think it'll be fine.
Mechanicus was sat on the edge of the king's bed. He heard this, and he nodded.
I don't think that'll be a problem, Your Highness. Properly staffed, I can erect the sturdiest of command structures in the harshest of conditions. Those gods won't bother us at all.
Mechanicus was cool. Check this out. He was an expert engineer/builder who could invent anything and construct whatever he wanted. He was from the future, but the king couldn't find that out until later in the story. Mechanicus was a close childhood friend of the king's and famed throughout Europe as being the guy who made the pinball table in the Grand Hall. And he was the linchpin of the merchandising enterprise that filled Europe's treasure rooms year after year. Whenever Mechanicus came up with a new invention, you could bet your last euro that, by Christmas, there would be a mass-produced, miniaturized version of it cast in plastic made available in every major retail outlet. He was visualizing the Chillonous Plains castle playset in his partly mechanical mind even as he was telling the king about it. Mechanicus was wonderful.
As for the other half of the army, half of that half will march with the rest of us out from Brussels into Viking Europe, skipping through the edge of the Kingdom of Sharing into the Lands of Winter,
said the king, stabbing a wooden finger into the coloured card that represented that location.
I will command them directly. The remaining quarter will stay here and keep the peace and protect the kingdom under the watch of Commander Flightfeather.
Commander Flightfeather was part bird and part person and a close childhood friend of the king. The king had once mended his wing when he had fallen out of a tree as a baby. He was nice and funny, and of course he could fly, which was always useful. His presence among the adventure friends was also a very important message to the young people that the king was down with all races, even bird monsters. The commander nodded, and he sang.
Not even a tiny twig of evil will get inside this sweet place while I'm here.
The king put some seeds on his palm, then held it out to the bird thing to lure him closer, and when he was within range, they hugged.
Accompanying me on my adventure team will be Axe Axewound.
The fighter,
said Axe Axewound.
Father Dominoes.
The healer,
said Father Dominoes.
Colonel Glowfist.
The archmage,
said Colonel Glowfist, who was indeed an archmage.
And finally, Sally Minefield.
The woman/thief.
in case you need to open anything.
Christ's balls, Sally! We know who you are! We don't need your job description whenever somebody says your name!
I'm sorry, Your Highness.
Don't be sorry, Sally. Be right.
Everyone nodded, and they all hugged one another. And then the king started tickling Axe Wound, and everyone then got tickling each other, and they all fell around laughing and having a good time as friends. Then the king stood up and cracked his wooden knuckles. They got serious again.
Adventure friends, let's go kill us some winter.
Saga of the European King was written and performed by Tom McNally. The theme tune, The King is Coming, was written and performed by Nikolai Rus with help from Pravda23. The illustrations were by Bruno Stahl, and you can find the rest of the story and many other wonders besides on our website, littleoldman.com. Questions, suggestions, and other feedback can be directed to me at Jerome@littleoldman.com. Thank you very much for listening. I hope that forevermore you have the strength to lift the heaviest of barrels and crates that stand in your way, metaphorically.